I am the architect. I created the Matrix.
Shall we play a game?
Let's get right to it on this Sunday morning, because I could not sleep a wink last night. I binge-watched the entire Untold History of the United States by Oliver Stone. Now, for those of you who don't know who Oliver Stone is, he is a well-known producer of popular films and documentaries. This particular documentary, I believe, is in 10 different episodes and really starts with the United States in about the year 1930-35. I believe it should be shown to all high school students and mandatory viewing for college history majors. It is not pretty, and I struggle with some of the issues because I wonder where I was when this history was going on. And I wonder what I did, or what my parents did, or my friends did when this history was going on. It's not a pretty picture of the United States, but it's one that I think people should keep clearly in mind when they're trying to judge Trump or judge the current situation. I recommend you go and watch this. I watched it on Netflix. It's compelling. It's persuasive. Now, it's a combination of factual information and Oliver Stone's opinion. And I don't know that I agree with his opinion in every case, but the facts are clear. Things that America did, and perhaps things that America is doing. It's a little bit frightening. So I'm just going to mention a few points, and I hope they excite you enough to go listen to this series, or excuse me, watch this series, because it is disturbing for an American. Now, first, there's quite a bit of information there about Trump and the atomic bomb. And just so we're clear about this, he was called, he being Truman, was called every name you could imagine. He received hundreds of letters from scientists in the military not to drop the bomb. People were against it. He was accused of simply carrying out his own personal vendetta against the Japanese. But he did it anyway. General Groves, I believe, was the military commander in charge of the bomb development and the actual deployment. And according to him, Trump was ambivalent about the whole thing and just said, go ahead and do it if you think it's right, and Groves did it. But the point is, there is tremendous disagreement, name-calling about what Truman did during this period of time. There was protests, a lot like we see today. The difference being is that today we have a lot more ability to communicate with thousands more people instantaneously than we had in 1945. And I don't know if it was, if the situation existed today, if the protests wouldn't be so strong that Truman would not have been able to drop the atomic bomb, and perhaps the Cold War, the nuclear war, the threat of civilization extermination would not be what we all went through in the 60s and 70s, and to some degree have a fear of today. His argument has always been the same. Gosh, I saved a couple of million American and Japanese lives by killing a couple of hundred thousand civilians and 20 or 30,000 military that were in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It's just an incredible thought process. He was asked about it many times and said he made the decision and didn't lose any sleep over it. That's hard to believe, frankly, but that's what he said. And by the way, he was called all kinds of names. Stupid, ignorant, barroom tailor from Missouri. Many, many names that I hear today people call Trump or Trump calls somebody else. I don't see much new about the names. Maybe the language is different. The communication deployment is different. We have Facebook and social media. They have the newspapers and radio shows. But the name calling is clear. And Stone does a very good job of taking, you know, videos and documents that existed at the point in time of the history he's describing and using that to present the facts. Eisenhower was complicit in letting the CIA and Britain overthrow the Iranian government so the Shah could be put in and we could get access to all the oil. Prior to the Shah, the Iranian prime minister nationalized the oil, which both Britain and the United States needed. And so we took the Shah, we took the current prime minister out and replaced the Shah. They talk openly about how the CIA hired people, hired thugs, made demonstrations in Iran. Now, these things I've mentioned before. I've read articles about them. The CIA program that describes that was called the JET program, was released. I think it was called the JET program. You can look it up. But the point is, we did that. Stone spends at least another 2 or 3 hours going through all the other countries that we intervened in or tried to overthrow, or in many cases did overthrow, the current dictator to put in our own dictator. That's right. We intervened in many other elections. But today we somehow get upset if somebody tries to intervene in ours, but we have a history of doing that. Why should we think the other side is any different? Now, Eisenhower, when he left office, mentioned a term that became very important later on. He mentioned the term military-industrial complex. And his theme was that in order to build up the military complex, we needed wars. So we started wars. It's a horrible thing to say. So you could build up the military complex. And because corporations, industry, benefited from it, industry stood by and watched these things happen. It's a horrible accusation. And it may be an opinion that Stone presented, but the facts are there that we did certain things, factually speaking, that do not make any sense in retrospect and hardly made sense at the time. Korean War, war in Guatemala, Vietnam War. Horrible, horrible things in American history. The Oliver Stone, and by the way, I'm sure by even talking about Oliver Stone, I'm going to irritate, annoy, and discourage many of my conservative listeners. And of course, I brand myself as a conservative from the heartland of America. But despite whatever way we characterize ourselves, some things don't make sense. Irrespective of whether you're a conservative or a Democrat. It doesn't make sense that we overthrow the Iranian government, put in our own person, so we can have access to the oil. That doesn't make any sense. Where's the morality in that? Where's the moral superiority? Where do we get that right to do that? Where do we get the right to intervene in another sovereign country? But we do it because we believe it is in our national interest. It is in our national interest to preserve, protect our democratic way of life. I just don't know how many people you have to kill in other countries to preserve your own way of life. But clearly, we've done a bit of that. And when I listen to or watch some of the current TV talk show hosts, I wonder if they have watched the Oliver Stone Untold History of the United States, so that we could put the current situation in the context of the past. Otherwise, somebody else will be writing or making a documentary 20 years from now, talking about all the horrible things we did now that we didn't know were going on. Where was I, for example, when after the war, we still had colored restrooms and segregation? Where was all the people that I knew? Well, I'll tell you what they were doing. Nothing. I remember when I grew up, and I grew up in Wyandotte County, Kansas, and I first started to drive. And in those days, the African Americans, black people, as some people call them, sat in the back of the bus, went to segregated schools, and let's face it, got a rotten slice of America. There's just no way to defend how we treated that entire race of people, and to some degree, how they're treated today. There's no way to defend that. There's no way to look at Truman or Eisenhower or Roosevelt and understand how they were willing to put up with that situation. Why they didn't do something about it. But in all of the documentaries that Stone showed or revealed in the history of the United States, that issue wasn't tackled as strongly as it could have been. In fact, one of the documentaries said that Truman in private always called African Americans niggers. He came from Missouri. Maybe that's what he believed, or that's how he was raised. Going back to my story, when I at first was able to drive, one of my dad's friends was the head of detectives for the police department in Kansas City, Kansas. And he joked with me. He said, "Bob, you now got your driver's license. You'll be driving." And he said, in all seriousness, and I remember to this day, when you drive down in the black neighborhoods, which in those days was about 5th or 6th in Quindaro, make sure you speed up so that if you hit any of those people, you'll kill them. Otherwise, they'll just run out and hit your car and sue you. That's a horrible thing. What I struggle with as a 74-year-old man is, how did I respond to that person? By the way, his last name was Adams. I remember it to this day. It must have had an impact on me. I must have wondered, what do I say? Is this the proper thing for the head of detectives to tell a young person who's learning how to drive? All seriousness? Yet he did. And what did I do? Did I spit in his face? Did I tell him it was wrong? Did I tell him I thought it was stupid? I must have thought it was okay, because I didn't do anything. But it must have struck me as being wrong, because that was almost 60 years ago, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And I'm sure what happened to me at 16 years old happened to tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of other young men learning how to drive and being given advice by people who did nothing to help African Americans or other races during and after the war. Now, most people know that we incarcerated approximately 200,000 Japanese once Pearl Harbor was bombed and put them in camps in California and other places in the United States. And that for the most part, these Japanese were American citizens. If you think that is not true, then again, you need to read more history. Now, on top of that, because we literally took Japanese families out of their businesses, these businesses were taken over by other white people, if you will, for little or no money. There's been estimates that billions and billions of dollars of assets that were owned by Japanese Americans were simply taken over by other Americans because we put the Japanese in these camps. And if you really love to get into history and listen to some of the factual things Stone talks about, he shows some of the cartoons and ads that were run about the Japanese during that period of time. They were cartoon characters. They were lower than snakes. They were worse than worms. It's amazing that after all of those advertisements, that after the war, we could even live with Japanese people because our behavior or our attitudes about them had to have been shaped by the material, the advertising material that was coming out of Washington, D.C. to generate hatred for the Japanese. Listen to what Stone has to say, don't listen to what Stone has to say or watch what he has presented in his documentaries, because most of the material is not his material. It's other videos, documents, and images from the past. I'm going to struggle with this Oliver Stone's Untold History of the United States for the next week. I'll probably forget about it after that because it's over, it's past. I'm not sure if it will motivate me to do anything. Maybe it should. Maybe it should motivate all of us to do something. But one thing I am suggesting is that when you watch the TV shows and you hear all the crap that goes back and forth about Trump and the flakes and the Schumers and the Corkers and all the different senators, don't think for a minute that it's anything special. As near as I can tell, it's been going on for the last 60 or 70 years. And according to the documentary by Stone, it was much worse, or at least equal to, what happened with Truman and Wallace, another good person to think about, Henry Wallace. Wallace was the person that was going to be Roosevelt's vice president, and Trump, a tailor from Independence, Missouri, supposedly backed by a big Democratic machine called the Pender Graphs in the Midwest, proposed Trump, and he got in. Proposed Truman, and he became vice president and later president. The accidents of history are amazing. So, final points. You have to watch Oliver Stone's Untold History of the United States. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, take a look at it. And I think you're smart enough to separate Stone's opinion, which in some cases is definitely one-sided, from the facts. The facts alone are frightening. And leaves one to think, maybe we shouldn't be so proud about our history. On the other hand, maybe we just did what we had to survive. I'm still speaking English. I'm not speaking the language of another country, as you are. And certainly, America has done well for itself. But has it been at the expense of other countries? Probably, likely. I can't think of anything that we could have done differently, but I'm surprised that we didn't do more to take care of some of the obvious inequalities that existed. Think about it. You fought for the United States as a Japanese or as an African American during the war. You came home, you were ostracized, your own bathrooms, couldn't go to the same school, couldn't get a house, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How do you feel about fighting for America under those conditions? How would you feel? I know how I would feel. And that's all for today on this Sunday, November the 5th, 2017. Bob Sherwood, webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. I hope I haven't discouraged people from listening to this conservative podcast, but I hope that there is a line of common sense, of common decency that we all have and is independent of any partisan beliefs. Have a great day. Listen in tomorrow as I'm going to have some fascinating things to say about the TV shows of today, the tax programs, and things that are going on in the United States, including Trump's trip to Asia. So, have a good day. Bob Sherwood, Web Talk with Bob, signing off. Listen up. It's over for today. Have a good day. See you.